in this episode. It's going to be part two of the Tame Your Dragon series. In the first episode, we talked about what it looks like to find and to discover and to connect with the certain domino habits, patterns, and behaviors that are causing the most resistance, the most pain, the most struggle in your life. And in this conversation, we're going to go a bit deeper to make sure you are really taking this conversation seriously, because a lot of the times we get so caught up in clearing the muck off of the top, just wiping it away inch by inch, little by little. But when you can dig deep and come to know yourself better than you've ever known yourself before, you can start to see the linchpin that holds most, if not all, of your problems together. So we're going to deep dive into this conversation and more, so stay tuned. I'm Adam Cadu, and it's time to master the art of real heart alignment, where you live, work, and play from your personal power as energy aligns, your gifts flow, and life simply works. These life-changing conversations are designed to help you to see what you're not seeing, hear what you're not hearing, and to be who you're not being, as the world needs more heart-centered leaders now more than ever. Are you ready to say no to living a half-hearted life and say yes instead to boldly living from a place of real heart alignment? Welcome to the Adam Cadu Podcast. Yo, welcome back to another episode of the Adam Cadu Podcast. In this episode, we're going to do what we do here on this podcast. We're going to dive deep. I find a lot of joy and pride in getting to know myself better and better and better. And it's tricky sometimes because we're constantly playing on this razor's edge of thinking we know something about ourselves and we've got it pegged and pinned, but then a new piece of information or a new behavior emerges to where we can see behind the scenes a little bit more. And there was a point in time where fear absolutely ran and wreaked havoc on my life. I was constantly in this place of overwhelm, frustration, doubts, insecurities. It was absolutely crushing me. It was suffocating. And little by little, inch by inch, I identified the thing that I was afraid of. And even at one point, it was a simple conversation with my accountant. I had got a tax bill that was like way, way, way more than I ever could imagine. I think it was the first or second year of my business. And I was like, how in the world am I going to pay this? It was like $5,000 or something. I'm like, I'm, you know, making like $25,000 a year at that point, just early on, maybe 35, something like that. $5,000. I was like, where in the heck am I going to come up with $5,000? And I was so afraid of the perceived judgment that my accountant might cast on me, or what it meant that I wasn't able to come up with the money for the IRS at that moment. And I literally sat in fear of having this conversation for over a month. And I would think about it and I would avoid it. And I'm like, okay, let me just focus on my business and I'll do these other things and it'll work itself out or whatever. And it was literally just hanging over my head. And I finally just sat still with it. What am I afraid of? I'm afraid of looking foolish. Oh, okay. Where else does that play out in life? Okay, seen that story before. I'm afraid of rejection. I'm afraid of having my freedom taken away. Like I got to go to jail or something. Like I didn't know. I had no idea. And so all these scenarios were playing out in my mind. And all I needed to do was pick up the phone or walk my happy little feet into my accountant's office and be like, look, here's the info. Here's where I'm at. What do we do? And that's literally finally what I did. I found it inside my heart to get this out of the way because I knew it was crushing me more and more and more. And there is this phenomenon about this white space, right? When there's something that you're afraid of, and you let this space go in between the thought of taking action, and you let that space grow and grow and grow and grow to where all this white space is in between, all of a sudden, this thing that was so insignificant becomes a huge problem in your mind. And it's tricky too, because sometimes we don't see what we're wrestling with. It's in that gray area that I talk about a lot. It's not so much in your conscious mind, but it's surfacing from your subconscious. And the faster we can lean in and take action and accountability and be bold and courageous in that moment, the faster we can get that off our plate and on to the next. Because as entrepreneurs, as business peeps, as peeps in the personal development space, who've got huge hearts, who want to be of service, help the world, do our traveling, connect with a lot of different people, if we're letting fear run the show, we're absolutely ruining our lives. And so when it comes to this conversation of taming your dragon, this is an opportunity for you to look deep, to understand what's really going on inside your psyche, inside your physiology, your nervous system, and inside your life. And one of the things that I discovered here recently, this is actually in 2020 where I really shined a light on this. And y'all, we're complex beings sometimes. There's layers on layers on layers on layers on layers. Once you pin something, sometimes it's like, oh, that was still at the surface level, that I was just wiping things clean. But then you find what's underneath and what's underneath and what's underneath. And here's the deal. Whatever your numbing mechanism is, we all have some sort of a numbing mechanism, whether that be mindless eating, scrolling social media, stressing out, or maybe just going wholeheartedly into work because that's a safe place for you. You feel like when you're working, you're in control of something. Or maybe it's fighting with somebody in your life. Or procrastinating or cleaning or whatever the case may be. We all have these little vices, these distractions that hold us back from feeling. Because there's memories in our past, all of us. And I'm from the school of eradicating past history. And also at the same time, if you know there's things that are there that you keep seeing in that gray area or they keep flushing into your conscious mind, you might as well go back intentionally and resolve it. But most people go back and they get stuck. They're trying to fix this. Why? What's wrong with my money mindset? What's wrong with me? Why can't I this? Why can't I that? And they're just making crap worse. They're tangling the knot more and more. But when you can see how you show up in life, what makes you nervous, what causes you anxiety, you're doing the work that most people don't have the awareness to do, or they don't have the courage to do. Because a lot of people, they're just, I got anxiety, let me throw some meds at it. I'm depressed, let me throw some meds at it. I'm this, I'm that, let me throw some meds at it. Or let me just keep doing the same thing. Maybe I'll read a book, or maybe I'll study this or study that. You're not changing the root. And in order to change the root, what I was going to say is, in order to change the fruit, you got to change the root, right? You probably heard that before. We got to dig it up. Because if we're just trying to change the fruit, like, no, I don't want oranges, I want apples. You got to change the root. You got to go deep. And so for me in 2020, there was this big, glaringly obvious, call it a problem, even though problems are just labels, right? Why is a problem to somebody, but not a problem to somebody else? Simply a label. So there was this glaringly obvious pattern, a behavior of mine. And that was this incessant need to be liked. And it was breaking me because I had this mask on. I wasn't allowing people to see me and to see my heart. And I was trying to use my knowledge and, you know, I read a lot of books. I was trying to use my analytical mind to get attention and this and be flashy and say things in a certain way. But I had this wall in front of me. People could see me, but they couldn't feel me. They couldn't sense me because I had this incessant need to be liked. To be liked for me was to be safe. Because growing up, I was around a lot of fights. And there was usually people fighting that I was friends with a lot of people, right? So it's like people on this side, they weren't really messing with me because I'm cool on both sides because I'm playing the fence because that was my safety mechanism. And there's stuff even deeper than that. There's this strong aversion that I've worked on tremendously through the years of being wrong, being caught off guard, looking foolish, right? So that might be cut from the same cloth of needing to be liked, but it's slightly different. And so I'm starting to get deeper and deeper, right? And the two main fears that we have in our lives, number one is the fear of inadequacy, right? I'm not good enough. Like somebody's going to unveil you and say, you know what? Yep, that person right there isn't good enough. Oh my gosh. And the second one is fear of rejection. And I like thinking, you've probably heard this on the podcast before, I like going back in my mind and thinking about cavemen and cavewomen, what it was like for them back in the day. And when you're with a small tribe, to be rejected from the community, for them to say, you're no longer a part of us, you're on your own, good luck to you, find your own food, build your own shelters, that's essentially a death sentence. That's scary. That's fear right there. And also, inadequacy. If you are inadequate in the caveman days, if you're not pulling your weight, if push comes to shove, if things get bad, if you have only a small rations of food, and you're the one who's not pulling your weight, you're the one who's not able to help out and to contribute, you're on the chopping blocks. And in that instance, that could possibly lead to death as well. So if you look at your fears and break them down, you're going to find some element of the fear of death. Even if you go in your mind, you're like, I'm afraid to put this offer out and to hear crickets. Why? Well, if I hear crickets, that means nobody likes me. Nobody wants to buy. That means what I'm creating isn't good enough. You know, why is that a fear? Well, if I can't, you know, bring in money, if people don't like me, if they don't buy, I won't be able to pay my bills. Okay, what happens after that? Can't pay my bills, you know, I'm going to lose my house and I won't be able to pay the electric bill and I won't have heating and air and all that. Okay, what's underneath that? Well, I don't know. I probably will end up, you know, homeless on the streets begging for money and food and things of that nature. Okay, what's under that? Well, if I'm in that spot, I'm vulnerable, I'm on my own, I can't survive. Oh. So there's this element of fear, of death. And when you can come to know in your heart that when you walk this path of this life with an open heart, you're always going to be okay. You're always going to be okay. If you care deeply for people, if you're willing to do what it takes to be of service and to help out, it's going to be okay. And even if you weren't okay, you would still be okay. Because we are energetic beings. We live on. We grow. And chances are what we go through in this life, unless we are banging our heads and making the same mistake and so wrapped up in our ego, not wanting to look at the fear, not wanting to look at what domino we need to knock over and to step courageously into, if that's where we're playing from, then yes, we're going to have to repeat some karma. We're going to have to learn our lessons. The chances are, no matter what happens in your life, you're going to be okay. And Einstein once said, paraphrasing here, this was important for me back in the day, like a long time ago, when I was dealing with a lot of fear because I was starting to study fear. Where does it come from? What's it rooted in? What's really going on inside our bodies and our brains? And he said, one of the most important decisions you can make in your life is if you believe this world is a good place or a bad place. And if you believe it's a bad place, you're going to be less likely and actually more likely to be frozen in inaction than you are to take action and to actually create and to connect, to build relationships, to reach out, to create something meaningful that people actually are excited about and want to be a part of. And that's the world. And I mean, we hear it everywhere on social media. We're in the matrix and the government and, you know, the TV stations and the radio stations are all wanting to feed fear to us. I agree. But at the same time, I don't really care. Because we have the opportunity to get outside of that and to no longer allow the programming. It's like literally they called TV programming. No longer allow the programming to affect us so greatly. Because we're more focused and intentional on digging up those faulty roots in order to change the fruits. And when you can start to identify yet again, what is it for you? And there was another one. You know, I was in an event, a Business by Design live event, probably 2017. Sorry about my alarm. And it was my birthday, right? And I wasn't too worried about it, whatever. Mr. James Wedmore gets on the stage and he's like, we got a birthday in the house. I'm like, cool. He's going to say it's my birthday. And he said somebody else's name that it was their birthday. And in that moment, I saw this pattern playing out of this story of, oh, I'm always overlooked. Always overlooked. I'm always overlooked. I'm always overlooked. You know, I was overlooked my senior year in football. I was always the quarterback. I kind of, you know, went down, you know, not such a great path, was not so interested in football. You know, my parents were splitting up, just, you know, not in a great place, eating a lot, wasn't taking great care of myself. And the coach was like, hey, we're going to put somebody else at quarterback. And I didn't even fight for it. I was overlooked. There was numerous times. I mean, probably one of the earliest times we were racing. This is probably like third grade. We were racing to see who was going to be in the relay race or the, what do they call it? Whatever the end of school, kind of like recess days or whatever they call it. And me and this kid were racing and he beat me by a hair. And I'm just upset. Oh, I'm not going to be on the relay team. And then somebody on the relay team wasn't able to show up that day. And so it's like, it had to have been me because I was the next in line. I was one of the fastest kids for sure. But they picked this other kid. Overlooked. Right? So in that moment with James, I had this epiphany. And I was like, who fucking cares? Like, who cares if I'm not recognized for my birthday? To be honest, you know, in college, my friends would always give me crap because they're like, why haven't you told us it's your birthday in like a couple of days? Like, we could have been celebrating and have fun. I'm like, I'm not all big. It's fine. Whatever. I literally giggled inside that moment. And the next thing that happened was absolutely just mind-blowing to me. There were so many people in the room that were just lighting up, standing up, pointing at me. It's Adam's birthday. It's Adam's birthday too. It's Adam's birthday too. And I felt like I had beat them to the punch. I didn't care about that anymore. The story was no longer playing out that I'm overlooked. It was just laughable. It's just a thing. It wasn't James's fault. It wasn't anybody's fault. No big deal. I didn't care. I literally laughed. I felt good about it. I was like, that is funny. It is what it is. And then I was supported. People had my back. People cared about me because I care about other people. I care about being of service. I care about helping. I have a good heart and I know that. And good hearts are always rewarded. But at the same time, I've been doing the work. You know, I had a few different people at that same event, I believe, or maybe the year before, the year after, that came up to me and they're like, you've had the craziest transformation. Like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm shedding fear. I'm letting go of a lot of stuff that I was afraid of. And there's this parable that I absolutely love about this village of people who had this monster come down from the mountains and just scare the crap out of them. Nobody wanted to go outside. Nobody wanted to go get food. Nobody wanted to go get water. It was scary to them. And so they brought this man in. And he said, "Would you like me to take care of this problem?" And they said, "Yes, please. We'll do anything. We'll do anything." He's like, "No need to go there. You know, I've got this." And so when the monster starts coming out, when it usually did, the man started walking straight up to the monster. And step by step, inch by inch, the closer the man got, the smaller the monster became. Where he'd take a few more steps, and now the monster is only twice his size. And he gets a little bit closer, and the monster is now only his size. And he gets closer and closer and closer until he steps right up to the monster, where that monster that was once so big and scary was now the size of a church mouse. So the man leads over to that monster and he said, "Sir, what is your name?" And the monster in his little bitty church mouse voice said, "Fear." And the man picked up that little monster, put him in a jar, put a cap on the jar, and took that monster back for all the people to see. That sometimes when you're looking at your fears, they seem so damn big. But if you can find the courage in your heart to walk right up to that monster, you'll find that that monster is actually very small. But it's us that's giving our power away to the dragons, the scary things in our lives. And these are the deep-seated fears. This isn't the fear of going on social media, the fear of doing a live video, the fear of video. There's something underneath that. What is it? What's causing you fear of going live, if that's the case? Well, what if I mess up? What if people, you know, see me for somebody that I'm not? What if? You know, life, even though Eminem, it was a good song, life is not about this one shot, one opportunity in every given moment. We can recreate ourselves. We can step in the game again and again. And until we know that, until we find it in our hearts to walk this path with an open heart, not so worried about what I look like and me and needing to be liked and all the things, but caring about other people. And when you show up with that energy, people will start to stop and listen because there's so much going on social media. So much. I mean, so much content. We could never in 10,000 lives consume all the content that's online right now. But the people who are changing the game are those who can know themselves and who can open their heart. And I had lost that path the last couple of years. I had a hard go with my young kids, lack of sleep, things going on with the miss at home. It's been a tough road. But tough roads create tough people. Just as long as we don't get into our crap. If we don't get into victim mentality. If we don't start writing the story of poor me. Because it's not poor you. There's so many people out there that have it way worse than each and every one of us. If we're all so worried about ourselves, the world stops. And guess what happens? Nothing changes. And we need change in this world now more than ever. So I will leave you with that. Find it in your heart to get quiet, because this isn't something that you can just think for 2 minutes and, oh, that's my domino. You have to go deep and you have to trace it back to understand what is that linchpin that's holding so much resistance. And even if you don't feel like a fearful person, I've had a friend of mine before who's like, you know, I want to put this offer out and yada, yada, yada. I'm like, you know, at any given time, we're working from one of two places, either love, caring about people, right? Or fear. And she's like, I don't think it's not fear. Like, well, what's holding you back? Where's the resistance coming from? Oh, maybe it is fear. Okay. Now we know where to begin. So even if you don't feel like there's fear in your life, I can guarantee there's resistance somewhere. And so find it and eradicate it. Let go of it. And you know the game. Sometimes you're going to let go of it. And just like myself in 2020, I just had a huge breakthrough of not caring what other people think so much. I don't need people to care about me and to like me in order for me to help people, in order for me to make an impact in this world, in order for me to wake others up so we can all grow together. I let go of that. But the last couple of years, that damn little monster, damn little dragon came back in and grew freaking big. And little by little, inch by inch, I'm looking that monster, I'm looking that dragon in the eyes, and I'm walking closer and closer and closer. And so the question becomes, what is it that you are afraid of right now? Look at your patterns, look at your habits, look at your thoughts, and step forward. Because the world needs more heart-centered leaders now more than ever. So damn it, let's go lead. Thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to the Adam Kadu podcast. If you would, take a quick moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes so that way more people can hear about us. So here's the thing. If you are ready to master the art of selling from your heart, then I would love for you to get on the wait list to be first notified next time we open the doors to our flagship program, Heart-Centered Selling Mastery. Well, you'll not only learn how to enroll more people into your vision and into your programs, but you'll also begin to lead from a powerful place of heart alignment. So if you are interested in that at all, go to adamkadu.com/heart, and I'll see you on the inside.